All right. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Here on this Friday into Memorial Day weekend, the conference finals going on last night in the West, and double overtime was needed, but Edmonton takes a 1-0 series lead, 3-2 over the Dallas Stars. We say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, who joins us now, presented by ESPN Bet. It was an exciting one, that's for sure. Greg, how are you?
It definitely was. Probably a little bit more exciting than the Oilers wanted. McDavid apologizing on national television last night for not scoring in the first overtime and having people stay up too late. But, hey, listen, man, I picked them in the series. I picked them to win the Cup. And the reason I was confident in that pick coming into this series against Dallas is that I really feel like the Oilers have matured as a contender. They're no longer a team that gets flustered if they can't do their thing offensively or if the power play is not clicking. They're confident that they can find a way to grind out a win, and I think that was a really good example. And on top of that, I thought that their biggest liability, Stuart Skinner, played really well last night too.
I think in along those lines, you tell me if you agree or disagree. I think on paper, Dallas is probably the better team simply because they do have stronger goaltending, and they got scoring. Obviously, Edmonton's got Draisaitl and McDavid and Hyman and that whole group. But I think Edmonton might be just so damn determined to get to the Stanley Cup final that they're going to end up winning the series.
Yeah, I think if you parsed out category by category, I think Dallas probably has the better of it. I do think that their defense is a little overrated in the sense that it's been overworked, and I think it's a little bit thin behind their top 3D. Edmonton might have the deeper group there, and I think Edmonton probably wins the special teams battle too. But a lot of other things point towards Dallas. The determination goes a long way. I mean, I talked with McKinnon and McDavid before the season, and I remember asking Leon in particular, or I'm sorry, about Draisaitl and McDavid. I remember asking Leon in particular about McKinnon and about how there was a moment where Nathan McKinnon just seemed like losing was no longer an option. You know, he got tired of answering our dumb questions about why they fell short, and it was just time for him to do everything he could to load a team on his back and win a championship. And when you watch in particular Draisaitl play in these playoffs, you know, I think back to that conversation because he said, yeah, we've kind of reached that point where we're tired of this. You know, we're tired of the expectations not being met. We're tired of falling short of our own aspirations to win a championship. And when you watch that guy play, not only the points, but also the 200-foot game, you can kind of see that, you know, for lack of a better sports cliche, eye of the tiger kind of come out in the Oilers this year.
So, Greg, I imagine you're probably at work and you're watching the Western Eastern Conference semifinal games, finals and all these things going on. Then you get a text that Ryan McDonagh gets traded back to Tampa. What are your initial thoughts? Because I got to tell you, it caught me off guard.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for acknowledging that I do stay up to watch the West Coast games. There's a lot of people on the West Coast that don't believe that the people that live in Brooklyn stay up to watch those games, but I do. The McDonagh thing, you know, did seem odd at first, but then obviously when you start to peel away the layers, it makes a lot more sense. The cap situation for Nashville with the buyout money coming to pass is obviously a huge factor in them trying to move off some salary. And then in Tampa's case, you know, you could tell what they needed defensively, and what they needed was Ryan McDonagh. They've missed him since he left. And, you know, the problem being is that when he was there, he was a younger Ryan McDonagh. I still think he's got more than enough left to help them out in the short term. But, you know, in the Lightning's case, the intrigue becomes how does that cap hit added to their number influence everything else they have to do this offseason, including finding money for Steven Stamkos. Now, they continue to say that they're fine, like they can pay the man, but you know, the parenthetical whenever they say that is it what the man is looking for? So, like, you can give him a contract, it doesn't mean he's going to put his name on it because he doesn't think you should take that kind of a discount. So we'll see how that whole thing shakes out in the next few weeks.
I always love it if I'm other teams in the league, when I hear the team always, this certain team say, well, we're putting the band back together. Let me tell you what, the band never works the second time around. It just never does. And you could try to, you know, and no pun intended, you can try to find that lightning again, but all too often it doesn't work.
Yeah, because, you know, the bassist is in his 70s now, and, you know, he can't keep the beat anymore like he used to. Yeah, you know, I know exactly what you're saying, man. I think it's less the getting the band back together than it is finding a dependable known quantity on the back end. They're young back there, and the way that they like to build out their defense just because of the personnel that they have is to have a really, really strong left side, which they have in Victor Hedman and Mikhail Sergachev and now Ryan McDonough, and then hope that those players can, you know, sort of like you can fill in the blanks on the right side. And they had, you know, Eric Chernik and some younger players too. So if for what they needed, I think he's a good fit. And now it's just a matter of like that adding that cap. I mean, the biggest surprise in the deal is that there wasn't any money capped by the Predators. And we know why, because this was a pure financial deal for them. But it does kind of set the dominoes in motion as far as like what's going to happen next for the Lightning.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. So do you think it is a foregone conclusion that they'll figure it out no matter what, that Steven Stamkos will remain in Tampa Bay? Or do you think there is a chance he hits the market?
I think there's a chance he hits the market, but I do think that we have to remember one of my absolute tenets as a hockey writer, which is that his stuff is there. And not only is his stuff there, but he is also a player that I think is very desirous to play his career in one place. He's not in the situation that Taves and Kane were, for example, in Chicago, where Tampa's going into some sort of prolonged rebuild. They're still a competitive team. Their core is still in its prime. I think he wants to stick around and see it through. But in order to do that, and I think the team has signaled this since we first heard about this negotiation impasse before the season, in order to do that, he's going to have to probably take a salary that's commensurate to what they want him to take, and that's commensurate to all of the other things they have to do lineup-wise in order to remain competitive. And if he's willing to do that and stay there and be a part of this, that's great. They definitely have a spot for him. But if he's looking to make bank in what could be his last huge contract as an NHL player, then he might have to look elsewhere. And Lord knows there'll be interest. I mean, you think about a place like Boston, for example, that's dying for an elite center. You think a place like Utah, for example, that has incredible cap space and is salivating to add a marquee name that they can put on the outside of the arena to build hype for their first season. Like there is a ton, and we've talked about it before on this show, Nashville as well as being a possibility for Steven. Like there's going to be no shortage of people looking to give him the money that he deserves. It's just a matter of whether or not he wants to leave a place where he's grown up.
So if it's not Stamkos, who could be the big fish on the move? Do you think it'd be free agency or do you think it would be a big trade?
As far as Tampa or as far as the off season?
The off season, just like anybody in general, whether it's Stamkos or Reinhardt.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a guy. I know you guys have been talking about Marner. I mean, you know, I every indication I've gotten is that Toronto wants to move him, but the problem is that nobody is asking to trade for him. I have it on really good authority that they've not received a single phone call as of late last week to have a team inquire about acquiring, you know, Mitch Marner. So, you know, you need a market for the guy in order to make a deal. And oh, by the way, he also has protection as well insofar as what his next destination is going to be. So, it's going to be a really interesting situation up there because I do think that they'd like to move on from him. I don't know who necessarily wants to take on that contract now or pay him what he's looking for later on. I mean, I've heard tangentially that he's kind of looking for money close to what Austin Matthews makes against the cap, when I think a lot of teams would be much more comfortable giving him money closer to what Willie Nylander makes against the cap. So we'll see what happens. I think he's a really good player. I think all this noise and playoff, you know, struggle has really clouded the fact that this guy could be a 100-point winger in this league and also maybe win a Selkie. So, you know, somebody's going to get a really good player. And I do think he falls into what I like to call the Jack Eichel, Tyler Seguin category of guys that probably needed to leave the place they started in order to really actualize as a star player. And I think the same thing is the truth about Marner.
Yeah, Trotz was actually asked straight up about him, and he said, I haven't talked to them. They're going to have to talk to me, and they haven't done that yet. So
yeah,
I didn't know Mitchell was a free agent.
Yeah, they haven't done much shopping yet, but I also think they've been waiting to see if a market was there for him, and that hasn't actually actualized yet, and we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, again, it's a big, big, fat cap number that guy has, and it also is, I mean, I mentioned it just before, but, like, you also have to sell your fan base on the idea that you are giving up assets, bringing on that cap number for a player that whose reputation now is playoff disappointment, to the point where now the, you know, Leafs are looking to move on from them.
Real quick, tonight, game two, Panthers and Rangers. I feel very, very confident in saying that this one will be 1-1 when the final whistle blows tonight. What say you?
Oh, boy. I'm less confident than you are. I think the Panthers are a really, really good team. And I think what you saw in game one is not a fluke. It is not. I mean, there were some moments where the Rangers' execution failed them. They had a couple of breakaways that didn't work. They had a couple of power plays that didn't work. But the Panthers on the other side also had some opportunities to capitalize and didn't come to fruition. It shouldn't have been a 1-0 game for as long as it was for either side. But when you take a real hard look at that game, you see a Panthers team that was in complete control. I mean, was very, very much in complete control and did not even play their best game yet insofar as having given up those breakaways. So, I mean, listen, the Rangers are going to have some back-against-the-wall energy tonight. We might see the return of Matt Rempe, 6'8" rookie, but is a possibility tonight to even get more energy in the building. But this Panther team, especially on the road, man, they're a special group. They really know how to provide needles for party balloons, if you know what I'm saying, when they're on the road.
No doubt. Greg, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk next week.
Anytime. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski, presented by ESPN Bet, joining us here on the program, usually on Thursdays
usually at
9:30, but had to move some stuff around this week, and always enjoy our insight with him. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and also celebrity birthdays here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.